Good to see you all. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you. I do look forward to Lord's Day. For that purpose. So, last time I was up a couple, 3 weeks ago, we started talking about praise. This little deal's handy for keeping the paper in place. Actually, it's on the wrong side, though. I need it over here. It's just the words we're going to be talking about tonight. We started talking about praise. And I said, you know, it's interesting that we have one word in the English that's translated praise. But when I did a kind of a dive into the word in the Greek, which is always interesting to me when you do that, just see there's usually several different Greek words that, you know, have a little bit different meanings. And so it just helps me to get a better idea of what all is involved when this concept is being communicated through the scripture. You know, it's a study to show yourself approved, you know, workman of God, able to handle it accurately, and all those good things. So, you know, I figure, okay, this is something that I should be doing. We have understandings in our own mind when we read through the scripture of, okay, this word must communicate this general sense. And usually if you do a word study, you're going to find out, that's not quite right. Not quite right. Seems like it's a little fuller than that. Like, you know, I mentioned, I've asked, last time I was up, I said, somebody said, just give a brief description of what it means when somebody says, praise God. You know? I said, most people would say, well, it's basically saying, give thanks to God. You know, and that would be an example of a word that would be used in that way, a Greek word that would be used in that way in Hebrews 13, and we talked about that when I spoke last time about this subject. And that's mentioned in verse 15 of Hebrews 13. It says, through him, Jesus, then let us continue to offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Okay, and that word there is where we kind of started the study. And that's a word that comes from kind of a root word in the Greek, one of two primary words in the Greek that are used heavily translated as praise or praised, praising, okay? And that is the word aineo, okay? It'd be an A-I-N-E, long O. And again, is it critical you understand all this, get the word right? Not at this point. I'm just trying to help you understand there are forms of words that are used and then they're derivatives. And then sometimes they'll have a preposition put in front of it or some other type of prefix that will enhance or change enhance and give some subtlety to the definition of what that word means. So aineo is a Greek verb, okay? Ainos, A-I-N-O-S, is the noun form of that, okay? I mean, you have different forms of that word that are going to be used and translated as praise, but you'll find that most of the time it's not translated that way. And I'm just throwing these words out now for you to understand these are what we're going to be looking at. Then another compound word that's used a lot, translated as praise or praised, praising, okay, is a compound word that's two of them actually, but the most prominent one would be a form of homologeo, okay, all right? And it's the word that we see used most often has the prefix of EX or EK in front of it. So it'd be ex homologeo. Okay, now it's, again, do you need to remember this? Is it critical? No. But I'm just trying to help you to understand. It's a compound word. So you take a word at its root, you add a compound of that, and then you add a preposition in front of that. And you kind of, I'll walk you through and help you understand what's going on with this word. Because you're going to come away with an understanding of praise, I think that's going to be a little bit more fuller than what you've understood it to mean in your own mind as you read through the Bible, or somebody's, you're talking to a brother or sister in Christ and something good has happened and they respond back, well, praise God. Okay. You know, so well, what does that mean? How is it used in the scripture? How are we communicating to one another and use that word? Are we understanding what that means in our relationship to Christ, our Savior, when we praise him? So these are the reasons why I do these things. And again, as I said last time up front, to motivate you guys to want to get involved in your own personal study, which is really where your growth in your faith is going to come the deepest for you, is when you do this on your own, when you actually do stuff like this on your own. At least that's been my experience with people that have done it, okay, besides myself. Okay, and then another word we talked briefly about last week is ulogeo. Notice the word logeo is in there in these forms, or logeo, okay? So ulogeo is, anytime you see eu in front of anything in the Greek, that means well, okay? And logeo is the verb form of logos, which in its very root means word. In the beginning was logos. Is what it says in John 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word, logos, was with God. Okay. Okay. So that's its root meaning. Okay. It's just a word spoken or a word that's used to relate or lay forth something. That's what it means. But also, if you look and study through that word logos, it's used quite a bit. Okay. But it also has to do with, you know, there's a reasoning process that's going on in there, and there's a computation, okay, taking place. So again, I've talked a lot about value lately, and I just noticed that this is involved in a lot of things in the Greek. There's these Greek words, a lot of times that they're going to bring up in one of your breakdowns of definition something that has to do with value or computation. Again, what am I trying to communicate to you guys? The Lord, through His Word, is always working on us making valuation computations, isn't He? What's important? What's valuable? What, you know? And that's what this is all about as a Christian, because the world's coming at us with its idea of what's valuable, right? And God's saying, no, 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 listen to me. I'm trying to tell you what's valuable here, how you can make your stand in the face of all this stuff. So to me, it's really important. So we're going to start, you know, with ulogeo is usually, by the way, if you look that word up, okay, and it's a compound word, like I said, it's got that prefix EU in front of it, but it's G2127. Don't do it now, but you can write it down and look it up later. You'll see that word is used almost exclusively in the form of bless, blessed, blessing. Two times it's praise, and it's only in the book of Luke. Luke 1:64 and Luke 24:53. Okay, and it really means to speak well of. So let's just whip over to Luke, and I think we covered this last time, but it's a little bit of a review. So let's just Luke 24, and then we're going to go forward into these other words real quick and pull out some to look at. Again, like I said, in hopes that it'll broaden your understanding of praise, what God's trying to get our understanding to in reference of what it means to praise Him, or if He gives praise to us. Luke 24:53, the last verse in the Gospel of Luke. Speaking about after Jesus had rose and they went back into Jerusalem and they were continuing in the temple, it says in verse 53, praising God. Not just giving thanks. What they were doing is they were speaking well of God. It kind of changes your perspective there if you think about it. You get the idea that they're just back going, oh, praise God, praise. They were actually speaking well about Him. So there was probably logical, rational communication taking place where they were speaking well about Him. So you go and study through the book of Acts, and you'll see what they were doing. Reasoning from the Scriptures, trying to help people understand who the Christ is, but they're speaking well of God and His plan involved in that. Okay, so that's just one quick one, and then ulogeo again. If you look at that, it's used multiple times in the New Testament, and it's always blessed, blessing, except for the two passages I gave you in Luke. And they're the only ones that are translated praise. So, you know, if you go back and look at it, and they were continuing in the temple blessing God. What does a blessing do? It's something that good that comes to you, right? Usually. So speaking good, speaking well of God. All right. Okay, now let's go to this homologeo word, which has the X in front of it, okay, this prefix on a compound word. Homo, hamas, okay, in the Greek, that's a adverb, and it means the same, together, okay? Logos, like I told you, that is, or logeo is, you know, to relate by words, to reason through something, to compute through something, okay? Valuing something, knowing all that, all right? And then you put ek on front of that, which, you know, it's denoting origin. Normally it's denoting origin, the point where action or motion proceeds from, out of place, time, or cause. Okay, so we got same words. Think that way. Same words. So if Drew and I are saying the same words, we're in agreement in what we're saying, right? And then you put that X in front of it, it says from out of the same words, okay? So it means, really, when you think about it, you're acknowledging. You're acknowledging, you're agreeing fully. Now this word is used quite a bit too, but you're going to see that it's not only translated, and we're going to look at a few words praised, but if you look at it, and I'll give you the words number, so if you want to go back and do your own search on this, it's going to be G1843 in the Strong's, you know, for Greek, word 1843, all right? You're going to see that this word is used not only as a word praise, but it's also used a lot as the word, it's translated as confess. And then there's one place in the New American Standard where it's translated consented. Again, you're agreeing fully, you're acknowledging. See why you would have that translation of consented? Because you agree fully, you're acknowledging. How about confessing? What's confessing? You acknowledge something, right? Why is it important when we're immersed, you know, and when we become Christians? What do we have people do? Who do you say that Christ is? Just like Jesus asked of Peter, well, thou art, or who do you say I am, Peter? So we say, who do you say Jesus is? Well, we just go with what Peter said, right? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay? So you can see where the idea of confess comes in. But let's turn to, since we're in Luke, let's go to Luke 10, where this word is used. And again, whole goal again, expand your idea. Why does God use 3 to 5 different words and translate them as praise? Why do the translators choose that? Okay, well, I'm trying to expand for you, bring that singular usage of praise and show you that there's much more to it in gearing you towards getting excited about some other word you want to check out. Okay? All right, so this is when the 70 return from when the Lord sent them out. We're going to pick it up in verse 21 here of Luke. He says, at that very time, after they came back, said, hey, the spirits are subject to you, and they're subject to us. He said, don't be concerned about that, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Verse 21, at that very time, he, Jesus, rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, Father. O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise. And what's he saying there? What's he saying? I acknowledge. I acknowledge you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these. And he goes on to say, I acknowledge this greatness of what you've done here. I agree fully with it. Okay, so that's Luke 10, 21. Okay, now if you go over to, just give you an idea of how it's used in confessing, just go to the previous Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Verse 5. We'll begin in verse 4, actually, and then go into verse 5 of Mark chapter 1. John the Immerser appeared in the wilderness preaching an immersion of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea was going out to him and all the people of Jerusalem. And they were being immersed by him in the Jordan River, confessing, acknowledging their sins. Agreeing fully, they had sins. You notice it doesn't say praising their sins. But this is the word that's used, translated praise. Isn't that interesting? See what I'm driving at here? Okay. I hope you see that. Let's go over to Luke 22. This is where it's consenting. And you'll notice the subtle difference here in the context, why they've translated the way they have. But again, at its core, I agree, I acknowledge, I agree fully, I profess, I confess, all these different things. Okay. Luke 22. Beginning in verse 3, this is when Judas is going to go and betray Jesus. And Satan entered into Judas, who was called Iscariot, belonging to the number of the 12, and he went away and discussed with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him, Jesus, to them. They were glad and agreed to give him, this would be Judas at this point, money. So he, Judas, consented. He agreed fully, I'll take that money for this. Okay, so he consented and began seeking a good opportunity to betray him, Jesus, to them apart from the crowd. So you can kind of see why the translators chose consented. But isn't it interesting, this word is not only used confess, it's not only used consented, but it's also translated praise. Luke 10:21 I gave you. All right. Now let's go to Romans 14. Most of you'll have a title above the chapter, Romans 14, if you have a New American Standard, that'll say Principles of Conscience or something like that. We're going to pick it up in verse 10. But you, why do you judge your brother? Are you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise. Give confession, acknowledge, agree fully. I'm God. Okay. Every tongue shall give praise or confess to God. Okay, basically what's he saying? Hey, you are the one true God. And they are going to acknowledge it, profess it, confess it, agree fully at that point, aren't they? Okay. Isn't it interesting they use give praise here? It almost is like, every tongue shall give thanks to God. That would be the way we would initially, I don't know about you guys, but when I first started reading my Bible, I'm reading this, okay, yeah, I'm going to give thanks to God, okay. No, there's an acknowledgement going on here that it's God. He's God. And we're agreeing with that fully. And this is in the context of judging, isn't it? Interesting. Real interesting. Okay. Over to Romans 15, I want to touch on this one. Because between Romans 15, 9, and 11, we're going to have three different Greek words, couple of forms, used within three verses that are translated praise, but they're all different, either forms or words. It's interesting. But we'll just look at Romans 15, 9 here for now, and this is this word, ex homologeo, okay? Romans 15, verse 9, or verse 7. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God to confirm the promises to the fathers. And for the nations, or the Gentiles, to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing to your name. I will acknowledge, agree fully. Okay? Here it's give praise to you. Therefore, I will acknowledge you among the Gentiles. And that kind of ring a little different. If I say it that way, then I will give praise to you. The picture in your mind, I'll bet you, changes. From thanks to, oh, I'm acknowledging him to the Gentiles. I'm making a stand for God. Instead of just saying, thanks, God. Do you guys see what I'm getting at? I hope you do. Just trying to, subtleties here. So praising God is not just giving thanks. In its core, I have no problem with anybody saying, hey, giving praise to God, just giving thanks. Hey, I'm okay with that. And it's core, but there's also something more to just giving thanks. It's agreeing fully. It's acknowledging. It's making a stand for God. It's acknowledging he's God. That's what praise means. Not just, thanks, God. And then this word is used in Philippians 2:11, James 5:16, and it's translated both times there, confess. Okay? All right, so that's homologeo, okay, that those words come from. Now we're going to go back to that original one I talked about, aineo, A-I-N-E-O. olongo. Okay, and that's the verb form. And that's it's going to come from the noun form of enos. And it's a prime word. And really at its root, when you go back and you look into the languages it was used in the secular sense in the writings of that time, it really is communicating a story. But it's one that's of value or something that it's kind of laudatory, okay? Commendable. Something like that is implied in that, but at its root, it just means story. But it is a laudatory story. It's something that's being raised up. Now we can understand praise God is, you know, that aspect of raising up his name. That comes through too when we speak of praise. But that's where that comes from. Okay, laudatory discourse. All right, so let's look at Matthew 21. Let's see if this makes sense when we put it in context. Jesus healing after he cleanses the temple. Chief priests and scribes are, you know, okay, what's going on here? Children are shouting out, right? Hosanna! Do save to the Son of David. They became indignant, the chief priests and the scribes. And that's in verse 15 of Matthew 21. Verse 16, and said to him, Jesus, do you hear what these children are saying? Like, shut them up. Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read? Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies or babes, you have prepared praise for yourself? You prepared this praise? What was this laudatory discourse coming from the children? This raising up? Hosanna to the Son of David. Okay? That's just an example of that. Okay, now the verb form is aineo, and again, to praise, extol, celebrate, make high. And again, what's the valuation there? This is something that you lift up in your computation, your valuation of a concept. This is lifted up above others. I know you guys are going, hey, I got this. Okay. All right, so we're going to turn over to, and again, most often it's translated praise, this word is. But I want to look at, I told you about the Romans 15 passages. So I do want to look at those. So let's go to Romans 15 for the sake of time. I might go back and take a look at one or two in the gospel accounts. But remember, we did 15:9. God for his mercy, as you know, the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercy in verse 9. As it is written, therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles. And I told you that was one that's about, I agree fully, acknowledge you among the Gentiles. So think about that. Therefore I will acknowledge you among the Gentiles, I'll sing to your name. This means in the face of whatever, you know, persecution, oppression, whatever may come for doing that, you still do it. Verse 10, again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. In verse 11, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, you nations, and let all the peoples praise him. Okay, so you can see the other two that I was talking about in between 9 and 11. There they are in verse 11. Ow. Watch what I'm doing up here with my gesticulation here. Hurt myself. Okay, so... I might have to lift my hand up higher. Anyway, so it says, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. So again, this is that form of aineo, which in it means make it high, lift it up. Okay, so I'm going to acknowledge God among the Gentiles. The Gentiles are supposed to rejoice in and do what? Lift high his name. Above every other name. Lift it up. Extol it. In the face of whatever. We'll get this chance, won't we? I mean, the world isn't real. I'm not really happy with Christianity, per se, right now. If you're a white nationalist Christian male, I should say, you know, heterosexual, you are responsible for all the evil in the world. And notice the attacks coming in the media now. They are really starting to stress Christian nationalist. I haven't heard Islamic nationalist. I haven't heard Buddhist nationalist. You know, I haven't heard any of those. But it's interesting. Christian nationalist. So again, among the nations, are we going to acknowledge God? Among the nations, are we going to extol Him, lift Him up? Him above all else. Trying to make this a little bit more real and what this means to us, what it meant to Paul when he wrote this to the Romans in his day. Hey, you're going to have to stand up now, all you nations that are serving Emperor Caesar. Now you got to extol the name of Christ above this guy. What could happen there? Oh, they might lop your head off. I have to praise him? Yeah. I have to extol him? I have to acknowledge him? Yeah. Kind of gives us a better picture of that confessing part back in the day. When they confessed Jesus was Christ, they signed their death certificate. Literally. Either at the hands of the Jews, who were hostile towards them. We know what Paul, Saul of Tarsus, before he became known as Paul, did. He used to go in foreign, other cities and bring them back and vote, put them to death. If they couldn't do it, the Romans at some point did it. So let's praise God. I might get put in jail for that, might I? Days like that could be coming, brother. It could be coming. All right, so we did Romans 15, 11. I'm going to go to the next one. Sorry, I just don't have enough time. Now, the last form of this word that's used in verse 11 is that form of the verb, aineo, but you put in front of it ep, ep. Now, normally the preposition that goes in front of that in the Greek is epi, 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 okay? And that's what we have here. So it's a bit of a compound word now because you put this preposition in front of it. So again, you're lifting something up, extolling something, making it high. You put epi on it, upon, okay? And it means more than just upon based on how it's used in the Greek, whether it's in dative, accusative, all these, genitive. I'm not going to get into all that with you. What I'm going to tell you is when I study this stuff, I go in and I look where the word is and I get out my Greek interlinear and I look and see, okay, what case is this? Is it accusative? Is it dative? Is it genitive? And I start to see patterns. And I go, oh, this is how they did this translation. And then I'll notice where they didn't follow their pattern. I go, why did they do that? See, so again, I'm retreating to the scripture in the original language so I can make sure that what I'm reading, I think I have a good handle on. You don't have to be an absolute Greek scholar to do this stuff. They've provided enough material for you. You can figure it out on your own. You actually can't. I mean, fairly securely in your understanding. If you look for the patterns, and I've told you guys that. That's what I do. I look at the patterns of how it's used in what case and stuff. Okay? So here's this word. So 15:11, again, we're going to acknowledge him. We're going to extol him, lift up his name, and let all the peoples praise him. Okay, now when you put epi in front of that, what that does is it means to commend, to approve, not just acknowledge, but you approve of this. Okay? And you, yes, Jesus! It's literally what you're applauding. I just have this picture of mine stand up in the courtroom. Yes, Jesus! And they're just, you can just see them getting hot at you for doing that, right? So it's like applauding, all right? Praise as a command or approve. So Romans, that's what that second one is. Let all the peoples applaud him. You see what conviction's being communicated here. Do you see that? Not only valuation, but conviction. Conviction. Praise. When you're praising Jesus, you're doing it. Your conviction's being communicated. A little bit more than just saying, praise God. Again, important. God wants us to understand what he's trying to communicate to us. So turn over to 1 Corinthians 11. And you'll see this word used a whole bunch. Well, not a whole bunch, but three separate times in this chapter. And it's going to be translated as praise, I think, in every instance. But let's change it and add a little bit more of this definition of this word, see if it makes sense. 1 Corinthians 11. Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. That's the Apostle Paul said that. He said it in other places, by the way, than just this to the church in Corinth. Verse 2. Now I applaud you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the traditions, scriptural, just as I delivered them to you. Verse 16. This is talking about hair and coverings and all that as we go down through here. We're going to go to verse 17. There's a lot we could talk about right there that would be an interesting conversation for tonight, but we're not going to. Okay? Should a woman wear a hat? Is her hair given to her for, right? But in giving this instruction, I do not. He's like, boo. The boo birds come out, right? Kind of like watching a Bronco game. Boo. Right? So in giving this instruction, he puts not, and then I don't applaud you. I don't commend you. I don't approve of this. Right? Speaking for God. He doesn't approve of it either. Verse 20. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Because there's all these divisions. They're doing all this crazy stuff. For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first. One is hungry and another is drunk. Selfishness and inebriation. Just incredible. Verse 22. What? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Is this working, guys? You getting sick of it yet? I'm like, all right, Kevin, I got it. See, there's no, again, he didn't approve of this. There's no applause from heaven. There's no commendation. I do not. Praise you in this. I don't commend you for this. Right? So, that's those words that we've looked at, that I wanted to look at, all these forms. I briefly touched on eulogeo, talked about ex homologeo. We've talked about the forms of aineo. All right? These are all the ones that I really wanted to get a look at. Okay? So, last one is a form of the noun form of the Greek epeneo. It's epenas. Okay. Upon, a commendable thing, approval. So Romans 2. And we're going to finish up with these and then we'll close it out. Be a few out of Romans. Romans 2. Who did you? According to? There you go. You guys are getting fairly well trained up. Okay. Who did you? Romans 2, 29. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. Speaking of the circumcision and the law and stuff. And his commendation, his laudation, his extolation, right? I don't know if that's a word, but it's extolling, okay? Is not from men, but so this is praiseworthy, isn't it? Let's go to a fairly uncontentious chapter in Romans, chapter 13. Verse 3. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Ou phobos. That's no fear, by the way, in Greek. Ou phobos. Do what is good and you will have commendation from the same. Approval, praise. Okay? Commendation, approval. I know you guys go, well, I think I kind of get that figured out. Okay, great. This word's also translated fame when it's talking about the brother of fame. Okay? When Paul's talking about the gifts that are given, you know, the gifts of charity and others for support of other congregations. Okay? That's in 2 Corinthians 8. But I want to close by going to Philippians 1. And then we're going to, and then the last one will be Philippians 4. Those will be our last two. Philippians 1. See, I'm trying to paint a positive picture, some things here, and then kind of enlarge this concept for you, expand it in your understanding. Again, everything's about valuation. Everything's about commitment and conviction here. It's really what it's about. It's being communicated by praising God. Okay? Verse 11, Philippians 1. Well, let's go verse 9. And this I pray, Apostle Paul, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the commendation, the laudation, the approval of God. Last one, Philippians 4. And we will close after this verse. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of commendation or approval, dwell on these things. Amen? Amen. All right, let's close with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for you, for what you have made available to us through your offering of yourself. Incredible act of love and selflessness. Sometimes we need to go back and really think about. I know I do. Some of the songs out there, "For Such a Worm as I." It rings. But to think that in response to the gospel, the good news that comes regarding you, Lord, I end up moving from a vessel of wrath to a vessel of mercy, and ultimately, you laud your praise and your honor onto me and onto my brothers and sisters in Christ. Amazing. Truly amazing. You are the only one that can remove the loser's limp and make us victorious warriors for you. And I'm so thankful again that in this assembly, we take seriously the word. We desire to know what you want us to understand. We value it appropriately. And we willingly give you the praise. We acknowledge you. We approve of you, Lord. We applaud you for all you have revealed to us and all that you have left for us to understand what will make us effective in this world as the ones that you have chosen to take the message into the darkness. Will we praise you? Yes, we will. We are so thankful for that. I just pray that tonight, Lord, we will understand what it really means after looking just briefly at the use of these words and the language you chose so that the world would be able to discern in their own language what is meant by these terms. I am just thankful again that we get this short period of time to look at the word praise. Just helps us to understand what else is so rich and so deep in the Word that we can delve into and draw forth this incredible well that's filled with resource for us and our understanding of you and what it means from us to praise you. Thank you again, Lord, for just giving us this opportunity. Pray my brothers and sisters have been encouraged, further equipped for the work of service, and that the body as a whole has been edified, and I believe it has been. In so doing, Lord, I know you've been glorified and honored tonight, and you truly will rain down the applause from heaven upon your people, and you will proudly proclaim us your brethren in the congregation. So grateful. We give you the praise and glory and the honor, Lord. It is in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.